This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
Hi, this hour, Brock and Salk, brought to you by Precore Home Fitness. He's Brock, I'm Mike. This Earl Thomas holdout situation is a challenge. I think for the most part, we are, as human beings, as sports fans, as we're programmed to accept two sides of a story, the good side and the evil side, right? We choose sides, especially as sports fans. That's a big part of what we do.
Which is better?
And when you choose sides, usually you like one, you don't like the other. The Angels are coming in to play the Mariners tonight. My kids will say, who's playing? I'll say the Angels. Who do we want to win? The Mariners. Why? We like the Mariners. We don't like the Angels. It's a pretty simple formula for how we pick and choose, how we act when it comes to sports. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we do that in a lot of other parts of life as well. Contract holdouts are different. Mm-hmm. And I think they exist in a very special category because they challenge our normal right and wrong, good and evil. When you like Earl Thomas and you like the Seahawks, and you are being asked to choose between them, it's uncomfortable. Yep. Doesn't feel good. It's not normal. You're not choosing between the Seahawks and Aaron Rodgers. That's easy. I like the Seahawks. I don't like Aaron Rodgers. That's really easy. Yep. You're being asked to choose between the Seahawks and one of their best players who has helped bring a championship to this city, and that is nausea-inducing. That's not the way sports is supposed to go.
I would agree with all of that, and I would add one other little addendum, which makes it even more difficult. And I think we've learned our lesson maybe the hard way sometimes on this show, because you and I will choose to talk about things that we're deeply passionate about that may not be of interest to the listeners, or at least, you know, the broadest, widest interest to listeners, because this brings about business. And people come here as an escape, and I want to hear sports. Play that baseball song, man. Get on a bat. I want to feel the mojo, man. I want to feel the positive energy. And we got a baseball team in this town that's 41-24, right? And we could do 3 hours of this and just what a ride this has been. I don't want to hear about business. And then further, I don't want to hear about multimillionaires arguing with billionaires. And I think over my years of doing this job, I think it started to sink in a little bit, is why is this that people aren't as passionate on this topic as I think you and I seem to be, you know? And I think it's that. Like, no, I know what it's like. I do my job out there. I think I deserve more. I don't get more, right? So it also brings to light people's own personal business situations they find themselves in and some of the ickiness of business. And now you bring an Earl into this? Like my favorite Seahawk? You know, Howdy still squeezes in his Earl Thomas jersey. He loves it. He won't let that sucker go.
His medium?
He snuggles into his medium and he loves it. And I don't even want to think about Earl in this way.
But unfortunately, this is the reality of the situation. Earl Thomas is right now walking down the path of not becoming a Seahawk anymore. This is the beginning of that path. I don't see how it ends too many other ways. I think it's going to be a big challenge for Earl to be a Seahawk for any more than a game or two, the way Dwayne Brown was at the end of his Houston career. Yeah. I don't see Earl Thomas as a long-term Seahawk. They're not going to pay him his money. They are not going to give Earl his third shot at big money. And in the meantime, not sign Dwayne Brown or Frank Clark or some of these other guys, Tyler Lockett maybe, KJ Wright, that they think have participated the right way and that they want to make a deal.
And are you mad about that?
No.
By the way, can we just stop at that first one? Are you mad that they're not paying him?
No.
Are you all out there? Anybody out there? 206-421-3776. We got a line open. You mad? You mad, bro, that they're not paying him? Do you think he's got another 5 years of football left in him? Safeties can play. We went through this offseason. The Charles Woodsons, the Ed Reeds, the Troy Polamalus. You know, guys can play that position into their mid-30s. You know, they don't have to be done at 30 like running backs or wide receivers or corners or some of those spots. They can play that position a little bit longer.
Watching him the last few years, he sure hasn't looked the same to me. And I know that football people will argue and maybe some will say, well, it's because the pass rush hasn't been the same and it's affected Earl. All I can tell you, and I'm not trying to make this revisionist history, you and I talked about this along the way. He didn't look the same. He didn't look, and that's not to say he looked bad. He wasn't a bad player. Did he look the same? Did he look like a guy running around, getting a ton of picks, knocking away a ton of fumbles, and making big plays over and over? No. He missed a couple of really big tackles that led to losses.
Yeah.
He was out there for big moments that went against the Seahawks.
I have a hard
time
with
that.
With
his I didn't see it.
I'm going to say he was at about 95 or 90. I'm going to say about 90%. And I'll say the reason he wasn't 100, unfortunately, is one of the reasons they're not paying him, because he couldn't practice. Because he spent the majority of the time, if you go back and look at all of the practice, and if you don't practice, it gets really hard to play. Even if you're a veteran guy that knows the game inside and out.
Let's hear from the people here. 206-421-3776. Some of our top five callers jumping aboard right off the bat. Isaiah in Yakima. Go ahead, Isaiah.
Morning, guys. Hope you had a good weekend.
What's up, dude?
Not much. I'm on Earl's side, strictly because the NFL is the type of business where as soon as the team feels like you're not going to perform to the standards of what they're going to pay you, they can easily cut you or trade you.
Yep.
And the second contract that they gave Earl, while at the time it didn't make him the highest paid safety, it was more of a team-friendly contract. They didn't overpay him or max him out at that year because they wanted to pay the other core defensive players. So on paper...
So hold on. I just want to make sure I'm clear. You're on Earl's side because the Seahawks didn't overpay him?
No, I'm on Earl's side because he has outperformed his contract yet again. So I believe he's deserving of a third contract that does make him, because he does play a position that you can age gracefully and play another 5 to 6 years. He is a generational talent at that position, like the Ed Reeds, the Rod Woodsons, the Charles Woodson, and those guys. So those are the type of players that I don't think you can really play with in a sense for what they've already done with the leaders they've taken out of the locker room. I mean, Earl's more of a guy that leads by action. We all know he doesn't talk much, but his actions on the field are what the defense needs, along with Bobby Wagner and those guys.
Do these
you're not paying them, you're hurting them.
Isaiah, strong phone call. You are actually outside of the top five. You are now receiving votes, kind of may have a chance to get back in. Yeah, he's out. Look, you see the big boy.
I know there. That was on you, though. That was when I went away. So, you took Isaiah out, and I didn't support
and
him.
And I think a perfect guy to ask this question, since his name starts with it, do the 17 I's in this statement bother you at all? The knowing you're going to pay a guy that ultimately is just, you know, is out for his money, and it's a priority and will go so far as I'm going to miss mandatory minicamp, and if I've got to miss regular season games, that I will put my priorities above your team concept. Hello?
Oh, Isaiah?
Oh.
Nothing.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I don't think Earl's ever really been a guy that's above the team. Like, I know he's going to hold out and everything, but I think when it comes down to it, he's going to be there to open the season.
And when he ran into Dallas's locker room?
I don't think he's going to be there to open the season, Isaiah. I got to disagree with you there.
I don't think he will be.
I could completely be wrong.
I actually think in this case, not with your call in general.
Great call.
I think your opinion on Earl is really well stated. I disagree with you, but it's well stated. I don't think there's a chance in hell he's showing up for the first game without a new contract. I don't think Earl will play for the Seahawks again unless he gets a big contract, or it comes to the point where you're getting close to, you know, that 10th game of the season where he's got to come back, and then they got to deal him soon after that.
Yeah, I don't
know what more. I don't see that happening.
I don't know what more he tells you specifically in this statement, and he said it to you at the Pro Bowl a few months ago.
I know me, so I won't allow myself to even, you know, go out there and, you know, just risk it all, you know, just if they're not, you know, having faith in me and a long-term deal. I just got to protect myself at the end of the day, me and my family. That's the first thing. Like I said, I don't feel comfortable just going out there without signing a long-term deal.
I also believe that based on my production over the last 8 years, I've earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible. I want to have certainty in regards to the upcoming years.
I got to cut you off.
I'm going to work my craft, put in the work so I can add to the team. I hope my teammates understand.
Contracts, unfortunately, in sports are not about the past. I don't know how much more simply this can be stated. Contracts in sports, unfortunately for players, are not about the past. They're about the future. They're about the team concept. They're about the market. They're about so many things other than what you believe you are entitled to. That's not the way it works. You haven't earned the right to have your contract situation resolved. That's not the way it works for players.
I've played this card. All right, I'll make this a little personal. I've tried to play this card. Right, not as a player necessarily, with my four career starts and 0-4 record and everything. I'm not as a player, but I'm on the business side doing TV work. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, man, this is what I'm doing. Hey, this is the path I'm going. Hey, this is where I stand next to all these guys. Hey, you know, we negotiate these deals. My agent, thankfully, handles 99.99999%, but he takes my little input on it, and I try to stack it up, and this is what I've done in my past, and this is the road I'm going. And you know what it's all about? It's all about what they think you can do for them in the future. So it's not just sports. It's about the business side of so many things.
But it's especially true in sports. It is especially true when you are deteriorating, unfortunately. When age is a deteriorating factor in your performance, it is not about the past. It becomes about the future and about the market. And the market says right now free safeties aren't being valued and aren't getting paid. And it says that Earl Thomas, at his age and with his injury history, is no longer going to be worthy with the Seahawks anyway of that kind of money. 206-421-3776. Ryan's in Sammamish. Good morning, Ryan. What's up?
How's it going, guys?
Good.
I think you got to think of Earl like a house in this real estate market. You squeeze as much as you can out, and you got to get what you can get. You never know when the bottom's going to come out. Sometimes it's just time to walk away.
Do you find yourself on the side of this, Ryan? Do you find yourself on the Seahawks team side? Find yourself on Earl's side? Do you find yourself picking a side?
Team. I mean, definitely team. You got to, you know, there's a bigger picture here. It's not one guy. It's, at the end of the day, 53.
Mm. Appreciate the phone call there, Ryan. Let's grab Kendall, who's in Santa Monica. Good morning, Kendall.
Hey, guys. I am more excited about the Seahawks than I have been in a long time because I've been waiting for this news to come out because your values and your principles are only valuable insofar as they get tested, right? And so as the Seahawks are attempting to make this shift into a new team, you know, the LOB era is done. It's dead. Even if Cam plays, even if Earl somehow plays out one more year, it's done, and they're moving forward. And so this is a great opportunity for the organization to really kind of signal to all the players what's important. And what's important are guys who put the other 52 guys ahead of themselves and who play for each other. I mean, this is the recurring thing we've been talking about with the Mariners. Yep. We've been going over it over and over. Is that you have to have guys who are all in. And Brock, you said it even back before the draft. Is Earl all in? The answer is no, he's not. And so whatever comes, so there's a couple scenarios. Either he leaves in a trade, or he holds out, and then he plays out the remainder of his contract, and then he walks. But either way, I'm glad that we're moving forward.
Well, it's because you are probably of the opinion that the Seahawks need to do what we talked about a few months ago, Brock, which is listen to the Great Rage Against the Machine song and take the power back.
Take the power back!
Right?
Yes.
Kendall, that's what you're saying is use this as an opportunity to seize the power to take it back. To take it back, y'all. To take it back and take it back and take it back, y'all. That this is their chance. That this is providing them a specific moment to send a message to everybody else that they're just not going to stand for this stuff anymore. And to truly can change the identity and leadership of this team.
Yeah, and I think they have learned through experience. And I think that's something that gets lost here is that no one is perfect. And, you know, Pete and John, they went on and found these guys who competed and became stars. And I don't think they could have predicted, you know, how creating that environment would have perhaps taken them away from, you know, my thing is taken them away from their first love. But I think now they know it's the Doug Baldwins, right? The guys who play well. Have you ever heard Doug Baldwin hurt the team? Maybe once or twice, right? But he's so careful when he speaks about, you know, look at last season, right? Like
all of Doug's irritation, thankfully, is reserved for Russell. So, you know, there's nobody else on the team for him to take shots at. It's all just reserved for Russell. Thanks for the call,
but, Kendall. He's not imploding, right?
No, that's he's true. Not. I would agree with all that.
Kendall stays in our top five. Obviously. He's number two, obviously. It is. Kendall highlights the juxtaposition with
top
this baseball
five,
club.
Top five.
Whoa, a little sounder off the back end of that, too. A little helicopter sounder. There is a little juxtaposition with this baseball team that is nothing but selfless. That all you are hearing from players and teammates and D. Gordon and Nelson Cruz, Scott Service is, yeah, man, it's all about the guy next to me. It really isn't about me. I'm more excited for the success of somebody else. It's quite a juxtaposition when you do read that statement this morning that I have earned the right to take care of this as soon as possible.
That one really hurts me, man. I don't like earn the right at all. That is, of all the phrases that Earl drops in there, earned the right is really
prima
one that's going to stick with me. Jake is in Issaquah. Jake, you're on the other side. You support Earl. What do you think?
100%. First of all, first time caller. How you guys doing?
We're great, man. Thanks for calling. This is the first thing that got you to call this show.
Totally. And honestly, I'm actually a Packer fan.
Of course you are. So of course you want Earl to stay. You want to blow up the Seahawks. You're a spy. You're an infiltrator. You should not admit things like that. Are you an owner? Are you an owner of the Packers?
I wish I was. You know, I would say as a fan,
it costs like 30 cents to get an ownership certificate. All right.
So here's the thing. Earl Thomas is an amazing football player. It's the first time, like I said, I've called. I'm calling a vouch for him. So at the end of the day, he's a top three safety in the NFL. You have Eric Berry and I believe Lennon Collins from the Giants are top two. Earl could be top three. He could be top one or two as well, depending on how you look at it, based on system and also defensive needs per assignment, as you know, personnel. At the end of the day, though, if you remember a couple of years ago, he got injured. A freak accident on the football field where he goes and make a tackle, and it pretty much takes him out for the remainder of the season. If you look at this year, per se, Deshaun Watson as a rookie in practice literally blows out his knee completely. Mm-hmm. Luckily, he's in a rookie contract where he signed for 4 or 5 years or whatnot. Earl Thomas is just trying to ensure because he's such a
Yeah, I got two problems with all this, though. I got two problems here. One, we've seen players get injured and then still sign big deals afterwards. If the market is there for your services, it'll still be there after an injury. NFL teams will take care of you when it's all said and done if you're a great player. So I'm not buying that one. Number two, you're a Packer fan, right? I want to take you back to the summer to the summer after 2007. And I want to ask you this question. Should the Packers give Brett Favre another contract?
No.
Okay, but he's earned the right, hasn't he?
Totally.
He's been one of the best players in the game. Should they give him another contract?
In that situation, I would say I would have loved for them to give him another contract. However, Brett Favre was much older than Earl Thomas.
Well, he was older, but in quarterback years, I don't know that it's that different than safety years. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was at that point 38, which is definitely old, but he was
nine years older.
But still, yes, but playing a completely different position. And by the way, still really good. I mean, 2 years later, he went 12-4 with the Vikings and brought him to an NFC Championship game. So I don't know. I think you just kind of look through these and say, you know, it's easy to get caught up with the player in the moment, but when you look back, how often do you think you're truly upset that you let the player go?
Yeah. Well, the Mariners with Randy Johnson. There are a few cases in this town where it's come back and bitten you. And we'll see with Richard Sherman. We'll see with Michael Bennett. We'll see more than likely. I think I would agree with you on this front. This is just leading to the end. Mm. And maybe Earl wanted to accelerate it. Maybe Earl's agents were right in February that he was going to show up, and it turned out, well, he didn't. It may be the last 3 or 4 months as he's worked out and he's watched this team, Mike, be taken apart. And that Legion of Boom be taken apart, and it's starting over, and they're hitting the reset button that he also wants to accelerate it. He wants to accelerate, and he feels like this is the best means and methods to getting this third contract.
All right, 206-421-3776, a line open. Andrew's in Seattle. Good morning, Andrew.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great.
I don't think people should be taking sides. I think that Pete and John are absolutely right to be looking out for the team's interests and the salary cap, and because of that, I think Earl is entirely, you know, right to advocate for himself and try and get as much money as he can. It's just a business thing. It's not a morally right or a morally wrong position. So, I mean, they should both be advocates for their own for their own interests.
I think you're absolutely. That's a great point. Now, what do you do if you're the Seahawks?
I don't give him more money if it's going to impact the cap and impact my ability to keep other players who are younger. I just wouldn't do that. But, you know, if Earl is holding to his position and he doesn't get the max, you know, the most money for safeties that he wants, but he gets more money than he has, then
okay,
then he was right in doing that too.
Well, let me frame it this way for you. Is this program is hitting the reset button? Is Pete Carroll is re-energizing and has to re-energize it and has to get this thing going the right way? What would be the healthiest and the best next step in this Earl situation for this program today?
I think that if he thinks that Earl can still provide guidance and leadership to the younger people who are coming out and they can do it at the right price, then they should probably keep him, even if it means giving him more money than they may be a little bit comfortable with, but it shouldn't impact their ability to do things in the future in a in a big negative way.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Good phone call. I got a hypothetical a little bit here for you. So I'm not a hypothetical. I think I've told you before of one of the best business deals I ever looked at. This is back in my real estate days, and it became kind of almost a venture deal, and it was fun looking at all sorts of different businesses. And unfortunately, it didn't work out in the 11th hour, and it didn't work out because a few of the partners did not want to partner with someone that had been in litigation. It was just a non-starter for them. They felt like, you know what, at all costs, we're going to stay together in a partnership. And if that's in the past, they just didn't feel super comfortable moving forward with it. Does this in any way affect you moving forward with Earl? The fact that you would play the nuclear card and say, you know what, I'm out. I'm taking care of me. You're going to take care of me and my family, and I am out, and I'm not going to participate in your program until you take care of me.
It doesn't.
Playing the nuclear card doesn't really bother me.
No, because there's just enough of a history of other players that have done it that have had great success afterwards. I mean,
so you think it could be totally settled? He could come back totally in the fold and in business.
Well, I didn't say that I would bring him back. I'm not saying that. But does it tell me that he's poison? No. I mean, Cam Chancellor did this and was fine. How many didn't Walter Jones hold out a bunch of times?
Oh, yeah.
It's not like Walter turned himself into a bad guy. We just saw Aaron Donald do it. I mean, sorry. Unfortunately, the precedent has been set that good guys hold out too.
Yep.
It doesn't mean I have to support him in the holdout.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that it's going to work for him here. I think Earl is pretty stubborn, man. I think Earl is a different cat.
Yes, I would tend to agree with that 1,000%, and especially the way he is wired.
Yeah, this doesn't make
as
him a
emotional
bad guy
as he is.
No, you know, I'm married to football, so when you're married to a person, you take your vows and you treat it right. It's a privilege to be out here.
He's going to be taking a little break then from his marriage, it sounds like, because I don't think he's going to be playing football for the first few weeks of this season. All right, we'll come back to the calls. We've got a lot still to get to here. I do want to spend a couple of minutes, Brock, on the Mariners as well. We kind of bounce back and forth, because this homestand really is enormous, and I'm not just going to sit here and sort of plea for people to show up at the ballpark. You should want to at this point. I mean, what'd you say, 41-24? They're playing a 102 win pace. They've got a 7-game homestand against two really, really good teams, the Angels, who are 4.5 games behind them, and then the Red Sox, who've been the best team in baseball basically since the start of the year. And you get a chance to go out and I think really, really put a hurting on the Angels. I mean, yeah, you can survive a road trip like this or a homestand like this, go 3-4 and probably be okay as long as you win a game or two against the Angels. But go out and sweep that team,
oh boy,
and you may crush their spirit and their soul. I mean, you're talking about an Angels group that at this point, with Shohei Ohtani likely now, according to Pedro Gomez, to have Tommy John surgery and be out until 2020. What? And Anderton Simmons is hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're talking about Mike Trout and...
Yeah.
And there's some other players there that certainly, you know, you've become familiar with them. We've talked about this. Guys in your division, you maybe overrate a little bit. So, yeah, we're probably more afraid of Cole Calhoun than anybody else is. And they got a couple pitchers that are okay. And Blake Parker, who used to be a Mariner for one game, has actually been pretty good in the back end of their bullpen. But look, you get a chance to go bury them. Go sweep the Angels right now. Put them 7.5 games out. And then do the rest of the homestand, whatever you do. This is a golden opportunity for them to take advantage of a wounded beast.
Correct.
And I would love for them to do it.
Correct my memory if I'm wrong, and maybe Miss Lydia, you could weigh in on this as well. I believe the Angels were one of the very few teams that actually beat you in a series this year.
They are,
It
was 1-1, and then Shohei Ohtani was ridiculously dominant in Game 3 of that series.
Yes, and actually had two hits in the winter.
He was
one
awesome.
Of the big hits.
I was at that game.
Yeah, it is a very small list. It's actually on one hand. I think it's just a few fingers of teams that have actually beaten you in
the
series.
Astros,
especially
and
on the road, too. It's been really impressive.
That's right. They came into your place,
yep,
and they took 2 or 3 from you, and it didn't taste good. It didn't feel right. I didn't like seeing Mr. Ohtani do his thing. Mr. Socha was out there doing his thing. Yeah, this is a team that you'd love to beat and certainly win this series. Find a way to keep that streak going and win this series and gain yet another game on them and put 5.5 in the rearview mirror with them mid-June. I like the sound
LeBlanc,
of that.
Leak, and Marco going against the Angels. I mean, those guys have been pretty darn reliable for you. That, as weird as it sounds,
caller last week, right? The
Leak
accounting firm.
And Marco.
Yeah. Which way do you do that from an alliteration standpoint if that's your accounting firm? Do you mix it in? Do you go LeBlanc?
Gonzalez and Leak?
Yeah.
I don't think that has the right word. It doesn't really matter. Those three guys have been funny. And especially what Marco and Leak have done recently. Yeah, you want to try to find a way to win 2 out of 3. And if you can somehow pull off a sweep of the Angels, get a lucky break like you got at the end, let the Angels beat themselves, let Mike Socha run himself out of a few innings because he's not a great manager. Just let some of those things happen. And I honestly think you're in such a spectacular position then moving forward. So I'm excited for tonight. Excited for Mariner baseball. 6 o'clock pregame show. 7:10 first pitch tonight here on 710 ESPN Seattle. Brock, you and I disagree on one part of this Earl Thomas thing, and that's where the blame goes. Discuss next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Yeah, Earl Thomas says, I'm not showing up. I'm good. I'm all set with this. I don't need to show up for minicamp. I won't be attending any upcoming minicamp or any team activities until my contract situation is resolved, he says. He wants everyone to know that he does want to remain a Seahawk for the rest of his career, but he believes that based on his production over the last 8 years, he's earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible. It goes on from there. And I don't think he does want to remain a Seahawk for the rest of his years. I don't think he does has earned that right. I disagree with a lot of what he put into his statement. But as I was reading through stuff on Twitter this weekend, Brock, I noticed this, and this is somebody on, I believe it's Reddit, who's a big fan of yours and fully agrees with some of your theory. And he writes about it here. He says, this is your daily reminder that keeping Marshawn Lynch around after his antics following the Super Bowl loss, threatening to hold out, skipping mandatory workouts, and then his holdout into training camp with no punishment is the direct cause of all the problems with this defense. If Cam saw that Marshawn got fined heavily for holding out, does he hold out in 2015?
Correct.
If excuse me, if Sherman saw that Marshawn got reprimanded and fined for undermining Bevel, does he do the same in 2016? If Bennett saw that Marshawn had to fall in line, does he do the things that he did last year? I highly doubt it. Brock Heward, former Seahawks quarterback turned Seattle radio host, is right. It all goes back to Marshawn and how much Pete and John babied his ego.
Well, to be fair, that's my burner account.
That's your Reddit yeah, burner account.
Yeah, that's my Reddit burner account. So I hope you enjoyed my thoughts on there.
Brock would not get through two clicks on Reddit before he's lost.
Right.
I can barely navigate that site.
Yeah. I believe very strongly in that. I think that sums up a lot of my thought. I think when you have a rule, and there's not many, but you know your rule and your lone rule and your rule one in that building is you protect the team. You started to see that just diminished. Those walls got caved in. And I got a friend in the building again. Mike Rohrbach is here, and the beauty of Mike Rohrbach, who played for Don James in the eras there in the 70s, in the 80s, the national title year in the 90s, his roster turned over. Okay, it was protect the team, but you only had 4 years in it. You didn't have a second contract, and you certainly didn't have a third contract. And it's really, really difficult and hard to do to fight human nature, to fight this disloyal business, Mike, to fight the challenges of these contracts and everything that you have got to do. And it's why so much of the league puts so much priority on winning with young guys, because you're fighting human nature. And when Marshawn spit in the face of your compete every day, I do believe that was some of the beginnings of it. And when Richard just walked all over you and your coaches and he looked at rule one and said, kumbaya, this. Right, and it just started to erode. It just did. It just started to erode a lot of that. And thus, they went as long as they possibly could, and they hit the reset button this offseason, and this is just a continuation of it.
Yeah, I don't know that you and I see this similarly. There's a text here certainly agrees with you that says, dealing with adults still seems to be the shortcoming of Pete's philosophy. I think it's too broad in its freedom and too narrow in its football strategy. I think that's a nice way of phrasing it. I don't think the problem is with babying egos. I think the problem is with allowing guys to stick around here too long. And unfortunately, I think that there's some human nature involved. And unfortunately, I think those guys specifically took advantage. And I think you could have gotten away with Marshawn being the one sort of kook who did his own thing, because Marshawn is kooky. I mean, he's just sort of a bizarre, different kind of a character.
Yep.
I think that they handled Cam pretty well. They didn't cave into Cam. Yeah, you're right. Cam pulled off what he did, but they didn't cave on Cam. And they didn't sign him for another couple of years after that. I mean, that didn't work. His holdout did not work. They did not set the scene for Earl because Cam ended up holding out, or because Marshawn did. I don't think that there's a direct lineage there.
Yeah,
and by the way, players hold out on teams every year, not just in Seattle. I mean, did Aaron Donald hold out because of one move 5 years earlier that happened in the No. He held out because he wanted more money and he thought he had the leverage to do it. And so he's holding out, which is why Earl is doing the same thing. So I think it's always a desire to try to fit a nice clean line from one to the next to the next. I just don't think it works here.
Yeah, and by the way, I say all of that and all that came out of my mouth, and I wrote down those were the six best years of football I've ever seen. that we've ever seen, including a world championship and nearly a second other. So this isn't a go revisionist history and rip Pete Carroll and his program doesn't work and his culture is broken. My goodness gracious. We had a six-year run there unlike anything we've ever seen in the history of this city. Mm. But to continue that run and to keep it going and to think that it could propel into another five or six with this cast of characters, that is wholly unrealistic in the NFL.
Let me grab Steve, who's been hanging on a while in Seattle. Good morning, Steve.
Hello?
Hello, Steve.
Hi.
Hey, man.
I love Thomas. I think he's great on the team. I think he makes the corners look better. But these guys sign a contract. When he signed it, he agreed to what he would do. And then they don't want to agree to it. I don't think they have any integrity. And I know it's their only bargaining chip. But he shouldn't have signed it in the first place if that was what he had.
Yeah, and I feel that from a whole lot of people. You know, there's going to be a large percent of the population, thank you for the phone call, that says the same thing. Like, hold on a second, man. This is the way it works in the real world. I work at UPS. You know, I work for a contractor. I work in the school. Like, I got a contract, and I gotta own it. You know, we've heard this for a decade plus. Yeah, just unfortunately, the NFL's got unilateral deals, and the contracts are often broken. Coaches, you know, often will leave, and they'll try to bust those contracts, and GMs and players will do so on the other side as much as they can. And this is about the only card.
Yeah, I just don't see it as a morality issue. I mean, I don't think he's going to win. The system is set up against him. I don't think he's immoral for wanting more money. I don't think he's a bad human being or anything. I think it's fairly normal to say, hey, look, I feel like I've outplayed the contract. Will you negotiate with me? Unfortunately, the team is saying no. We don't value your services like that. And by the way, the moment you walk into the Dallas locker room and say, I want to go be a Cowboy, it's pretty hard for them to want you around long term.
It'd be fascinating. Here's what the market
come
said.
Come get me, bro.
And we're always trying to gauge the market as they are. And the market said, with all of these circumstances, no thank you. Mm. No mas. Mm. Right? With all these circumstances, the market said in March and in April to trade for him maybe a third.
Come get me.
Now, if he was totally unencumbered, what do you think Earl gets on the market? If Earl Thomas right
this year,
now...
With the free safety market the way it was?
Yeah.
10. I mean, probably not much more than he's getting now. I would think it would be right in line with what he's getting now.
Is he going to get a deal like Richard got down in San Francisco that is a total prove-it incentive-laden?
Well, okay, Earl has an agent, so I'm guessing he'd do a little better than Richard did, but I don't know. 206-421-3776. Grab James in West Seattle. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I want to ask Brock, you've been there, you've been on the field, you've been to these mini camps. What do you think the mood is on the field with these guys? Are they like, you know, we're all businessmen here, we're all doing our thing, go Earl, or are they going, man, is he just tearing the team apart? What do you think is like me?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I would say right now there are so many new faces and so many new guys that are just trying, and so many new voices of coordinators, it feels new. I had to look at my roster with the Seattle Seahawks in ways I hadn't for 8 years, man. There is so much newness. So there's not a bitter animosity. And in fact, Bobby Wagner a couple weeks ago with us, I think kind of stating and making the case for Earl as much as
before
he could.
Before we get off, I would like to take this time to shout out to Earl Thomas. You know, I think he's an amazing player. I think he's an amazing person. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. And just let them know that, you know, we over here, you know, wishing for the best in that situation. And we're thinking about them. And I just want them to know that from this end.
And if you want to go back to Cam's holdout, which is the last example we had of this, I mean, what's funny is that Earl, of course, was asked about it. And in August 2015, as that was going on in training camp, he wanted his brother to come back.
You know, I just keep sending him text messages. I haven't talked to him in a couple of weeks, but last time I talked to him, I was just saying, come home. You know, we miss you. I know I do.
There's been so much chaos. When we go back and look at all this stuff, it's amazing. It's the beauty of the NFL and why I was just humming through those years. Just
at
like
this
all
moment,
these stories.
Earl
look
wrote,
at this.
Earl said in 2015, at this moment, Cam's not battling with us. So I can't really tell you what his absence means. It would be great if he comes back, but we're going to keep on trucking. You never know what's going on with someone in that situation. He's in a whole other place right now. He's handling his situation rather than helping us. I try not to deal with that energy.
Bro, this 30
you're
for 30.
You're creating that energy.
This 30 for
you're
30.
You're creating that energy.
It's dragon time, man. It's dragon time right
I
now.
I try not to deal with that energy.
Yeah.
It took 3 years before you yourself would create it.
Yep. The 30 for 30
I
on
know,
these Seahawks.
I know we're all hypocrites,
in 10 years are going to be unbelievable.
I know we're all hypocrites in some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
But to go in 3 years from he's in a whole other place right now. He's handling his situation rather than helping us. I try not to deal with that energy. Mm. To go from that 3 years ago to I believe that based on my production over the last 8 years, I've earned the right to have this taken care of as soon as possible. Dude, 3 years it took to go from one energy to the other.
I love the NFL.
Phone lines will still be open, 206-421-3776. Whose side are you on? Earl's side or the team's? As Earl Thomas says, he is ready to hold out until what he deserves rightfully comes to him. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. Woo! Woo!
Good news. Yeah! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, phone lines continue to buzz here throughout the morning. Everyone wants to weigh in on Earl Thomas's holdout. We also got some Mariner conversation going to get to here in the 9 o'clock hour. So much fun, man. So much going on in Seattle sports. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Mariners completed their six-game road trip 4-2.
Hey, that was great news. You know, after a long homestand where they took advantage and what went 8-2 on that homestand, you're thinking, just find a way to split. I remember saying it and hearing it right in the studio. Just find a way to split. Not just from you and I, but everybody. Like, just don't, Houston's tough and Tampa's going to be tough down there. And they didn't. They didn't just go out and split. They won 4 out of 6. And in every single one of those games, highly competitive. Yeah. Nothing got away from them other than Felix's start. And even that, they chipped away and battled back.
Good.
Let's say 5 out of 6, they were competitive. Felix didn't give him much of a chance. It's great news, and I'm going to start changing some of my expectations around here. I'm not going to talk, even in the gauntlet, about, hopefully they can just take a couple games here and there. I want them to go out and sweep the Angels. At the very least, win that series, which I think is very much within their ability, and at the very least, split with the Red Sox. I mean, I think they can do better than that. I think you have an opportunity to bury the Angels. So great news on what happened on the road trip. And I think one of the things I've come to truly enjoy about this team is that they find ways to win and also ways to let other teams lose. There's a lot of bad teams in baseball right now. And the Mariners done a really good job of not making too many big mistakes against those teams and allowing them to beat themselves. What happened at the end of the game yesterday for Tampa was a travesty.
Diaz the set. And again, the 2-2 pitch, swing and a fly ball into shallow right field. Out Gordon, coming in Hattiger. Hattiger slides and it's off his glove. Heading to third is Field. He's going to be waved in. Here's the throw to the plate on Opta Zunino. Plenty of time to get Field at home. Field is out at the plate. He was waved in.
He wasn't even close. He's out by 20 feet. Yeah, let them make the mistakes, man. You just keep doing you. I love the way they're playing ball.
Good. Good news, bad news, no news.
Shohei Ohtani may have to have Tommy John surgery.
I'm not allowed to say this is good news, right?
No.
You're not allowed to say somebody getting hurt is good news.
No.
Pass. I passed. This is pleading the Fifth Amendment. I do not want to answer this question on the grounds that answering it may incriminate me.
If you're a bad person, you would say how awesome this is for the Mariners.
If I was.
And how great, how much vindication this provides to them. If you were a bad person, you would take so much joy in how great this is for the Mariners.
If I were a bad person right now, Howdy, I would have a ear-to-ear smile laughing about the fact that Shohei got what was coming to him.
If you were a bad person,
if that he played all these teams out there
like the hypothetical
and tricked them into giving up resources with the fake idea that he was going to go anywhere other than to play with Mike Trout. But I'm not. I'm a good person, so I will plead the fifth.
I'm going to say bad news, and I'll spin it this way. The Mariners, I believe, were still 4.5 games up on these Angels when they had Shohei Ohtani. Right? Even with Shohei Ohtani, they're still looking up at you in the standings, and this is bad for baseball. You know, there's a caller that called into a national show yesterday, like, was I dreaming that there was some star that came from Japan that took over baseball throwing 100 miles an hour and hitting 450? Did I dream about that? Because it felt like a dream that all of a sudden is just like over for years and years now with this Tommy John surgery. And for the game of baseball, that's bad news.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Huskies are headed to their first College World Series in program history.
What a phenomenal game, man. What fun that was yesterday. Good news, Coach Meggs and everybody else over there, to have a first. And on Jen Cohen's watch, to have a first Final Four just a couple years ago for the women, going back to Indianapolis, a trip that we got to make, and to make history under Jen Cohen's regime, to make history and have a first Final Four for the women's
basketball
team.
Scored the tying run when they were down to their last three outs. He gets a high drive left field. This should do it for the Huskies. That ball is caught by Prescott. Here comes Jordan. And for the first time ever, the Washington Huskies are headed to the College World Series.
See the women's softball team in the national championship game. Once again, back in the College World Series for just the second time in their tenure. And now for the baseball team to find. I'm getting goosebumps just saying all this stuff. Jen Cohen has done an amazing job and great news.
What kind of news is it? I think Jake Lamb sums it up.
You know, I used to
his
be
younger
able to do
brother
that with
had
my
the
voice.
Game-winning RBI, right?
No. But Dylan was
the
there.
The famous tweet did say that. Oh, you're not wrong. The tweet was wrong.
That's what I saw.
Yes, you did see that. Okay. It was wrong.
No, it was Kaiser. Kaiser Weiss.
I'll admit, that's the third time I've watched the Huskies baseball team play in my life. The first two were also against Cal State Fullerton.
Really?
So I'm not a fan from way back. I am a bandwagon jumper. This is like the most college baseball I've watched in my entire life. I'm not generally a big college baseball fan. The sounds of the plink,
yes.
It's not for me necessarily.
The game is amazing. It's like Little League on steroids.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Right? There's Major League talent. Liddy and I were talking about this. There's like top 10 picks. You can see them in the College World Series. Major League talent throws 95, and yet they can sometimes make errors like Little Leaguers.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful game. Kudos.
Good news, bad news,
I
no
yell
news.
Like that still.
Mariners relievers Juan Nicasio and Dan Altavilla were both placed on the disabled list.
Yeah, there's some bad news here, but it's going to get balanced off by some good news as well. Here's what I know, and here's what I can tell you. On the Nicasio situation, that's just going to be 10 days. He's going to have a knee. They're going to get that kind of rest for a little clean-out type deal, and he should be fine.
He's going to have a new knee?
Stand. No.
He's going to have a knee.
Israeli cadaver knee. When it's all said and done, Nicasio should be fine.
All right.
I don't know how.
That was very Pete Carroll. Like he's dealing. He has an ankle.
He's got an ankle. He's got a knee.
Oh, okay, Pete.
I'm not too worried about Altavilla one way or another. I'm not sure that I care whether or not he comes back to the team soon. But here's the good news: Casey Lawrence has been pitching really, really well as a starter in AAA Tacoma. Last two starts have been fantastic. So if and when they do need to make a move with Felix or do something, you know, Lawrence has pitched well. Bergman has pitched well, so they have some opportunities and options there. But the better news is that Nick Rumbelow has actually come back here. And this is not a name that should be familiar to everybody, but he's one of the deals they made in the offseason. They traded for him, got him from the Yankees, and they expected him to make the 25-man roster at the beginning of the year. They expected him to open the year in their bullpen, and he's now finally healthy and pitching very well. He's only pitching every other day. He's probably not ready yet for a call-up to the majors, but keep an eye on this over the next couple of days. Nick Vincent's throwing.
Nick's got a groin.
He's got a groin, and I believe he's throwing today for the first time also in a game, so We're getting close to seeing a healthy bullpen again.
Song's got a voice.
Yeah.
It's great.
I do.
It's good news.
I don't have a voice. Jake Lamb's going to have DL with a vocal cord issue.
Oh.
Yes!
How do you make your voice do that? Is that called vibrato or something? Does that have a name?
I like that. It sounded
very
Italian.
Can you make your voice do that?
Kyle?
You're basically an operatic singer. Can you make your voice do that?
That guy.
No, it was better than that. Yours wasn't good at all.
Can you give it to me for real? Give me a good one. Give me a good guttural. Just give it to me. Just loud.
Something operatic?
Yes. No, something like last night when they won that game. Do you give me a Jake Lamb
like a scream,
as crazy
like a...
as you can do? Yes.
We should put that on video. The shaking chest is the best part of that whole thing. All right, let's see. We got a lot going on here. We got you guys hanging on the line for the last half hour or so. I apologize to everybody who's been hanging on. See if we can get to a lot more of your phone calls here in the 9 o'clock hour as Earl Thomas turns hypocrite. Next on Brock and Salk.